Let's pray together as we come to look at God's word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us now. Open up your word to us and teach us through these things by the help of your spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as a church, it is helpful for us to have a blueprint. It's good for us to have a plan as to what we're about as a church. And in this series, we're thinking here about our six commitments as a church. We're thinking about our commitments to word and worship, to prayer and care, to growing and to going. And this morning, we're looking at prayer. Now, prayer is one of those things which it's been said we sometimes talk a lot about but practice very little. You know, sometimes as Christians we struggle in our prayer life, do we not? And while we recognise that we are to be a praying people, yet it can be really, really easy to let our prayer life slide. And so it's important at such times to be able to pause and to reflect on the question, why do I actually pray? Am I just doing this for the sake of it as a kind of tick the box kind of a thing? Or is there a reason why I actually pray? And friends, although there are many answers that we could give to that question, could I just begin by reminding us this morning of the fact that you and I, we need help. We need help. We are a needy people. Now, I know that we know that, but sometimes by our prayer life, we can act as if we don't really believe it. We can act as if we don't really believe that we need the help of God. Whereas Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, paints a picture which reminds us quite starkly that the Christian life, it's not just a walk in the park. We need help. We're in a serious fight, Paul says. A fight which is only won, he says, through God. Okay, turn with me, if you're not there already, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we'll spend the majority of our time together. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And Paul there says, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, can you see there in that passage the way that Paul describes the Christian life in terms that are just simply not for the faint-hearted? He says, we as Christians are up against supernatural evil forces, he says. We're up against the schemes of the devil and all of his lackeys, he says. See, the Bible teaches that the powers of darkness, they are at work in our world. They're at work in our world. Now, maybe you haven't witnessed the demonic in its more overt form, but I can tell you that many people have, and some people within this congregation could give you testimony of that. But even where you haven't witnessed the demonic in its more overt form, yet the Bible teaches that Satan and his lackeys, they are subtly at work behind the scenes in our world, luring people into temptation and promoting unbelief. And I mean, we sense that struggle in our own lives, do we not? And so if this is the kind of fight that we face as Christians, what it tells us is that we need help. And that help is only going to come from the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, we find help in God. We do not fear the kingdom of darkness because our God is able. We have God on our side. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. We have God on our side. And what prayer is? Prayer is reaching out to God for help. Now, that's not all prayer is, but that is at least what prayer is. Prayer says to God, I am needy. It says to God, I have no hope of myself. My only strength is in you. My only hope is in you. So help me. We need God's help. Which is why Paul, having called on God's people to put on the whole armor of God, in verses 13 through to 17, finishes his exhortation by spending three verses talking about prayer. Okay, this is a really important part of the way that we engage in the battle against the kingdom of darkness. It's through prayer. It's through accessing his help. So that Paul says in in verse 18 that as we take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and so on, we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, did you see there just how emphatic Paul is about the value of prayer? Notice the use of the word all and always there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Do you get a sense of how emphatic he is? And can you see how this is saying that this is something which we need to be watchful in and which we need to persevere in? See, Paul recognizes that we have no strength without God. We have no hope without God. We are a dependent people, and our prayerfulness is a reflection of that. It's a reflection of the fact that we sense that we are needy. And friends, if you want something of a rough barometer of how much you depend on God, check your prayer life. Prayer is an expression of our dependence on God. I say that cautiously because I know it's possible for our prayers just to become external and not to really be a heart reflection of dependence on God. Certainly, as we know, the Pharisees had their long prayers which simply were heartless. So I don't want to suggest that it's a matter of simply counting the number of minutes that you pray. But all I'm trying to say is that there is something of a correlation between our sense of dependence on God and our readiness to genuinely, of the heart, seek Him out. We're a needy people. And if we believe that we are a needy people, we will be a prayerful people. Now, who will we be praying for? We will be praying for each other and
the lost.
Let me talk about praying for each other. Verse 18 talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, it says. Okay, it's for all the saints. We should be praying for each other. And as a church, we shouldn't just be praying for only some within our church, say the ones that we feel closer to or whatever, but it says, no, we should be praying for everyone, for all the saints. Okay, this is part of the way that we actually genuinely care for the whole body. It's through prayer for them. And friends, there are various ways that you can facilitate this. Remember, we want to be watchful in these things. So different people do try to do different things to just help them be watchful in their prayer for all the saints. Obviously, the most basic thing is to just have I would suggest same time, same place every day where you're seeking to pray to God. It's just good to develop a habit in that way. But in terms of actually trying to pray for all the people in the church, I know some people use lists. They put some of the people in the church on Monday, some people Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and so on. And just as a way of seeking to make sure they're praying for all the saints, everyone in the church, which I think is a good way of doing it. For me, the structure that I use, I'm not sure if I'm a millennial or not. I don't think I am. But, there's this app, PrayerMate. It's an app, Apple, an Android, whichever platform you use. I've plugged in the names of the different people in the church, plugged in the names of the kids in the church as well, names of my family, set it to come up with family every day. Then you just tell it how many people you want to pray for each day and it'll just bring it up. And it's just a simple way of making sure that you're actually praying for everyone. And again, it tends to work out about once a week. I'm praying for everyone in the life of the church. Now, I'm sure that others of you have different ways that you seek to discipline yourself to pray for everyone. And I'd be really interested in hearing from you afterwards, if you have other ways that you seek to just be watchful in praying for all the saints. But my point here it's not the method. My point here is simply that it's a good thing to be trying to be watchful, trying to be intentional about praying for everyone. And can I say here also that one of the things that I'm starting to try to do more is just to pray for other churches, whether that's in our own denomination or whether it's outside of our denomination. I confess I didn't used to do that much. But I do think that is part of our expression of care for all of the saints, that we seek to have a broader sense of the kingdom of God. Obviously, your local church is important, and it's most important. That's where you'll spend most of your focus. But pray for other churches as well. Pray for other churches within our denomination. Pray for other churches outside of our denomination as well. We're to be a people that are praying for all the saints. Remember, God's people, we're not just wrestling against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. We really need God's help. And so part of watching each other's back, part of saying, hey, I've got your back, is actually praying for people. That's how we care for people in the battle. Lord, help that new believer. May they grow in their knowledge of you and of your ways. Father, help that person going through trials. Enable them to trust you through the storm. Lord, help that person that's been a Christian for many years. Continue to help them to have joy in their walk with you. It's just part of watching each other's back in the battle against the schemes of Satan. See, we need his help, and so we pray for each other. And we pray also for the lost. Remember, Paul here really wants to see the lost brought in. Back in verse 15, he has said that part of God's armor is to have as shoes for your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, he wants us to be prepared to take the gospel out. And certainly that's what Paul is seeking to do. In verses 19 and 20, he asks for prayer for himself as he speaks the gospel. And so our desire to see the lost saved should be reflected in our prayers. It should be reflected in praying for one another that God would give us boldness and clarity in taking the gospel out. And can I say it should be reflected in our prayers for our non-Christian friends and neighbours as well. All right, Paul in Colossians says there that the God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's what God has done for us, and it's what we want to see done for others too. We want to see them moved from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Then he goes on, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. See, the flaw of that passage there is this. The flaw of that passage is we ought to be praying for all men, all types of people, including people in authority. We ought to be praying for all men, and our willingness to pray for all men is a reflection of the heart of God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the flow of that passage. See, our God has a heart that delights in the salvation of sinners, and our prayers are meant to be an outworking of his character. We must be praying for the lost. Now, later on in this series, we're going to talk about going to share the gospel with the lost. But we must appreciate that going to share the gospel with the lost won't be of any value if God's not at work in the hearts of those people we speak to. When I say won't be of any value, it won't be transformative if God's not at work in the hearts of those people that we speak to. And so we must be praying for the lost. We need his help. They need his help. Remember, the God of this age has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glory of Christ should shine upon them, as we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They've been blinded. They're in darkness. And so we need God to work. And so out of love for our neighbours, we pray for them, that our God would bring them light. Now, at an individual level, what this will look like is just making sure that you have non-Christians on your non-Christian friends and neighbours on your prayer list as well, or on your prayer app. So for me, okay, I've got my family comes up every day. I've got a decent number of church people comes up every day. There also have maybe 20 or so non-Christians that, again, I've just divided up. Well, I've just put in, but I plug it in to bring up, say, about three of them a day, something like that. And I've just set it up so that I'm making sure that I'm praying for non-Christians in my life. and that I'm doing this regularly as a daily kind of a thing. Now, again, different people, you're going to have different patterns. You're going to have different methods, different ways of doing that. But the point is that we should have it as our way of thinking that we're continually praying, and we're continually praying both for believers and for unbelievers. Should be the same in our church as well, of course, whether we do that in a kind of structured way as we did this morning in our prayer meeting. I feel terrible that I wasn't at the prayer meeting this morning. I said to Simone, I've got to go to the prayer. I'm preaching on prayer. I wasn't well, okay? Whether we do it in a structured way, or whether we do it or whether it's less structured, the point is that as a church, our love for the lost and our love for God's people ought to be reflected in our prayers as a church. And so we pray for each other and the lost. Then, finally, can I talk about praying privately and praying together? Okay, all I'm saying here is that as a people, we want to be going to the Lord privately, but also praying together as a people. Okay, let me talk about praying privately. There are many examples of private prayer in the Bible. Nathan read for us earlier from 2 Samuel of the joyful prayer of praise that Hannah offers up to God in thanks for a son. Over in Daniel chapter 6, you have that courageous incident also, where Daniel goes into his room with an open window and prays three times a day to Yahweh, even though he's been told that if he prays to anyone other than the king, he's going to be thrown to the lions. But Daniel says, no, I'll do what I've always done. He prays three times a day, still prays. And in fact, if you read through the book of Daniel, Daniel is a marvelous example, is a marvelous model of prayer. He really is. You also have Jonah's prayer to be saved when he's swallowed up by the big fish. Lots of examples of private prayer in the Bible. Of course, one of the people who particularly models it and talks about it is Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, he talks specifically about private prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. He says there, Matthew 6, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So what Jesus is there saying is he's saying our private prayer lives, they're important. They're important because it's very easy, particularly if you're a church person, it's very easy to have a polished public prayer persona. Bit of alliteration there, a polished public prayer persona, to be really polished or fervent or whatever in public, and yet for all of that really just to be show. And it's clear from what Jesus says that this is what the Pharisees were like. They would stand on street corners where everyone could see, and they would pray long prayers, they would use their vain repetitions and so on. And Jesus says, just actually go home, shut the door, pray there. He's saying, when you pray, it shouldn't be about performing for others. It shouldn't be about performing for others. And so what we learn from this is that we need to keep track of our private prayer life. Because if we come to church every week and we pray in the prayer meetings, and that all seems great, but during the week we're pretty lackluster in our prayer lives, we've got to be careful there, because maybe our prayers on Sunday morning aren't actually for God. Maybe our prayers on Sunday morning are more for the people around us. So we have to be careful there. That's not a good thing. And so it's just to say we must be keeping an eye on our on our private prayer life. We must be praying privately. It's important. But then also, finally, let me say that we must be praying together as well. Jesus wasn't saying that praying together with others is a bad thing. Rather, what he's warning there is he's warning against show pony praying. Remember, Jesus himself says that my house, the house of God, shall be called a house of what? A house of prayer. The house of God, it's meant to be a prayerful place. And you see this especially in the book of Acts, don't you? There are several examples in the book of Acts of God's people getting together and praying. In Acts chapter 1, we know that the disciples were waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what do they do as they're waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Well, they get together in the upper room and we're told this. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. See, they were praying together. Can I say, by the way, that it seems to me that we're meant to perceive, by the way, a connection between their prayerfulness and the coming of the Holy Spirit. God responded to his people's prayers and the Spirit came down. You see this also in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, you have the situation where Peter and John have been arrested and they've been told not to speak in Jesus' name. And it's just really clear that the authorities, they are against our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're concerned about this and they know that they need God's help if they're going to have boldness in sharing the truth of Jesus Christ to a resistant world. And so what do? They get together and they pray. Acts 4, 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And then it goes on and it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you see the way that the Lord's people turned to God together in prayer? And do you see the way that God responded by coming down? I don't know if you feel like we're being pressured more and more in Australia not to speak of Christ, but I certainly feel that way. I think it's fairly obvious. Even many authorities are trying to stop us from talking of Christ, or at least dissuade us from doing so. And so how should we be responding to that? Well, certainly we must continue to speak of Christ regardless. But secondly, we need to get together and we need to pray. Is that how you respond to a sense that our ability to speak of Christ is being threatened? Do you say, wow, I need to get together with God's people and I need to pray together for help, for God's help? The early church prayed together. You see this also in Acts chapter 12. It's the last example I'll give. There are more you could give. It's when Peter has been put in prison for speaking of Christ. And do you remember that the Lord's people get together to pray for him? And of course, the Lord does answer their prayers, and Peter was released. Even though their prayers were far less than perfect, weren't they? They weren't really kind of expecting an answer to God's prayers, but he was gracious despite the imperfection of their prayers, and he answers them. And so again, it's just that pattern of God's people praying together. It's something that ought to be part of the life of the church. Just to say that different churches do this in different ways, okay? I know of some churches that actually have quite a a reasonable time of prayer after their Bible studies. I know of other churches that like have a prayer service on a Sunday night or something like this. So I don't want to suggest that there's only one way that this can be done. There's a variety of different ways that this can be done. But the important thing is that praying together is a regular part of church life. Now, what's the value of praying together rather than praying privately? Let me just make two comments here to close. Firstly, let me say that I'm convinced that praying together plays an important role in our growth and in our stability as Christians. Okay, as long as we're being open with one another, as long as in our prayer times we're ready to ask others to pray for us, and as long as we're ready to go beyond skin deep and actually share with one another some of our struggles, some of our failings and so on, as long as we're able to go beyond skin deep in our prayer times, that it's going to help us grow and it's going to keep us stable. Okay, notice with Paul that he had the humility in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 6 to ask the Ephesians to pray for boldness for him. Interestingly, Paul there doesn't kind of maintain a sort of, I've got it all worked out, I'm the super apostle evangelist kind of persona. No, he says, pray for me, I need boldness in the work that God's called me to. Elsewhere he says, could you pray, Colossians, could you pray that I might be clear in the things that I'm saying? Over in Romans, he asks them to pray that his service would be acceptable to the saints in Jerusalem. Obviously, he has a bit of anxiety there that maybe the saints in Jerusalem might not receive him quite so well. There's this openness in the prayer requests of Paul. Paul assumed that he needed the prayers of God's people, and it ought to be our attitude as well. Just this past week, a pastor friend of mine rang me up and he said, you know what, I'm organising this conference and it's a lot of stress. Could you pray for me? Could you pray for my church? And I think it's really important that we're able to do that kind of thing. Praying together is valuable for our own growth. It's valuable for our own stability. And then secondly, could I just finish by saying that I think there's something valuable about, in the gathered body of God's people, just expressing together, okay, together our dependence on God. It's a really valuable thing for God's people together as a church to be expressing our corporate dependence on God. Because what that says is that not only we as individuals, but we as a church, we as a gathered body, can have no fruit from our labours unless God is at work. Okay, God is the one who opens hearts. And God is the one ultimately who grows people as well. Remember, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. We as a church can do nothing without God. And so it is right for us to express that together. Prayer, among other things, is the great expression of our dependence on God. As a people, we don't like to admit that we're dependent, do we? It's not part of our culture. It's not part of our natures either, is it? We don't like to admit that we're dependent. But the thing is, we are dependent on God. Remember, as a people, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so if we want to be a church that is strong in the Lord, we need to be seeking His help. We need to be are prayerful.